Good morning, and welcome to Tech News Briefing, your daily dive into the most compelling stories shaping our digital world. I'm Arjiv, and joining me today, as always, is our brilliant tech reporter, Arohi, ready to unpack the headlines that matter.
Great to be here, Arjiv. Always so much happening.
Absolutely. Before we jump into today's news, let's take a quick trip back in time for our On This Day in History fact. May 8th holds significance in the world of software. On this day in 1996, the very first version of the Apache HTTP server was officially released. It quickly grew to become the most popular web server software globally, a foundational piece of the internet's infrastructure that still powers countless websites today, a true testament to open source innovation. A fascinating reminder of how vital seemingly behind-the-scenes software can be.
A fantastic choice. And speaking of foundational tech, it feels like we're at a similar turning point with artificial intelligence. The news cycle this week, pulling from sources like MIT Technology Review, Ars Technica, TechCrunch, Hacker News, and more, really highlights the widespread impact AI is having, and not always in ways we might expect.
Indeed, MIT Technology Review recently published a piece titled, The Download, AI Malaise in Babymaking Tech, which seems to capture a broad sentiment. What exactly is this, AI malaise, and how is it manifesting across the tech landscape?
It's a very apt term, Arjiv. The AI malaise refers to a growing sense of unease and uncertainty surrounding the pervasive spread of artificial intelligence. We've moved past the initial hype and into an era where AI is deeply embedded in everything from our workplaces to our daily interactions. The question now isn't if AI is coming, but what exactly it will to our society, our jobs, and even our sense of reality. People are starting to grapple with the unknown long-term effects, from job displacement to concerns about information integrity. It's a recognition that AI isn't going away, but its ultimate impact remains profoundly unclear.
That uncertainty is palpable, and some of those negative impacts are already being discussed, particularly regarding the quality of online content. We're hearing a lot about AI slop now and how it's affecting online communities. Can you elaborate on that?
Absolutely. AI slop is essentially the proliferation of low-quality, often algorithmically generated content. Think poorly written articles, spammy comments, or derivative images that floods online platforms. The concern is that this content, often indistinguishable from human-generated material to the untrained eye, is actively degrading the quality of online discussions and communities. When platforms are inundated with this kind of material, it becomes harder for genuine, thoughtful human interaction to thrive. It dilutes meaningful conversations and can make finding reliable information significantly more challenging. Many online communities are finding themselves struggling to cope with the sheer volume.
It sounds like a real challenge for the integrity of our digital spaces. Yet, AI is also proving incredibly useful in many practical, commercial applications. For instance, Airbnb is making significant strides. What are they doing with AI internally, and how is it impacting their operations?
Airbnb is a prime example of AI integration, Arjiv, showcasing both efficiency and user experience improvements. They've announced that AI now writes a remarkable 60% of their new code. That's a huge percentage, indicating a deep reliance on AI tools for software development, which can significantly accelerate their product cycles and reduce development costs. But it's not just internal operations. Their customer support AI bot is now handling 40% of issues without needing to escalate to a human agent. This means faster resolutions for common problems, freeing up human agents to tackle more complex cases. It's a clear demonstration of how AI can enhance both back-end productivity and front-end customer service.
That's a significant leap in automation for customer service. And speaking of customer service, OpenAI is also expanding its capabilities with new voice intelligence features in its API. What can these features do, and where might we see them applied?
These new voice intelligence features from OpenAI are quite versatile. They allow developers to integrate advanced voice capabilities into their own applications through OpenAI's API. This could involve everything from highly accurate speech to text transcription to generating natural-sounding speech from text, and even understanding conversational nuance. Beyond customer service systems, where they could power more intelligent virtual assistants, OpenAI sees broad applications across various other fields. Think improved language learning apps in education, where AI could provide real-time pronunciation feedback, or more interactive experiences on creator platforms, enabling new forms of content creation and interaction using voice. It's about making human-computer interaction more seamless and intuitive through spoken language.
And on the more experimental, research side of AI, Anthropic, another major player, is doing some fascinating work with what they call natural language autoencoders. Can you tell us about that?
This is a deep dive into how AI models actually think or process information. Natural Language Autoencoders, or NLEs, are a research project aimed at understanding the internal representations within large language models like Claude. Essentially, they're trying to turn Claude's thoughts, its internal, high-dimensional representations of concepts, back into human-readable text. This could offer unprecedented insights into how these complex AI systems function, what concepts they've learned, and how they arrive at their outputs. It's a step towards making AI models more interpretable and transparent, which is crucial for safety and development as these systems become more powerful.
That's a powerful move towards greater transparency, something that's become a significant point of contention in the AI world. And that brings us directly to a major headline, Elon Musk's lawsuit against OpenAI. What's at the heart of this legal challenge, and what are its potential implications for OpenAI?
This is a fascinating and high-stakes legal battle, Arjav. Elon Musk's lawsuit against OpenAI centers on the organization's founding mission versus its current operational model. Musk alleges that OpenAI has strayed from its original nonprofit, open-source goal of ensuring that artificial general intelligence, or AGI, benefits humanity. He claims that their pivot towards a for-profit subsidiary and a more closed-source approach, particularly with ventures like ChatGPT, prioritizes profit over safety and universal benefit. The lawsuit could fundamentally hinge on how the court interprets OpenAI's for-profit activities, and whether they are deemed to enhance or detract from its initial humanitarian mission. If Musk prevails, it could force significant structural changes at OpenAI and have ripple effects across the entire AI industry, redefining what it means to develop AGI responsibly.
It's a stark reminder of the ethical and philosophical debates inherent in advanced AI development. And on the note of safety, OpenAI has also introduced a new, trusted contact, safeguard specifically for cases of possible self-harm. How does this work?
This is a critical safety measure, Arjav, underscoring the responsibility AI developers face when their technology is used in sensitive contexts. OpenAI is expanding its efforts to protect ChatGPT users. The trusted contact safeguard is designed for situations where a conversation with ChatGPT might indicate a user is considering self-harm. In such cases, the system is designed to prompt the user to provide a trusted contact, or even a mental health professional's information, that ChatGPT can then share with the designated contact if the user consents. It's an attempt to create an intervention mechanism, providing a potential lifeline and connecting individuals at risk with support, while still respecting user privacy and choice within the boundaries of a life-threatening situation.
That's a very important step in a complex area. Now, shifting gears slightly, while some are concerned about AI's potential downsides, others are embracing it for critical tasks, like Mozilla. They're reportedly completely bought in on AI-assisted bug discovery. How has this changed their approach to security and software quality?
This is a significant endorsement of AI's practical benefits, Arjav. Mozilla, the developer behind Firefox, has stated that AI-assisted bug discovery has become a game changer for them. They specifically highlight a system called Mythos, which has reportedly found 271 vulnerabilities with almost no false positives. This means the AI is remarkably accurate in identifying genuine security flaws. For a company like Mozilla, which prioritizes open source and user security, leveraging AI to quickly and accurately find bugs dramatically improves the quality and security of their software. It allows their human engineers to focus on more complex architectural challenges rather than sifting through endless lines of code for subtle errors. It's a clear demonstration of AI augmenting human capabilities in a critical field.
That's a great example of AI working synergistically with human expertise. However, on the commercial side, there's news about a price increase for GPT 5.5. What's the latest there?
Yes, for developers and businesses utilizing OpenAI's API, the GPT 5.5 model is seeing a price adjustment. The cost analysis indicates a price increase for using this advanced model, likely reflecting the higher computational resources required to run it and the continued demand for its capabilities. This is an important detail for anyone building applications on OpenAI's platform, as it impacts their operational costs and pricing strategies. It shows the evolving economics of providing cutting-edge AI services.
All right, let's pivot to the world of cybersecurity and some concerning developments there. It seems hackers have been quite busy recently. We're hearing about a breach targeting Instructure, specifically affecting school login pages. What happened?
This is a serious concern, especially impacting the education sector. The cybercrime group Shiny Hunters has claimed responsibility for hacking Instructure again, a company that provides learning management systems for schools. The breach resulted in the defacement of login pages for several Instructure customer schools, displaying an extortion message. This type of attack is particularly disruptive because it directly impacts students and educators trying to access their essential learning platforms. It also raises questions about data security for sensitive student information, even if the primary goal here was defacement and extortion. It's a stark reminder of how vulnerable critical infrastructure, including educational systems, can be.
And unfortunately, that's not the only recent incident. The popular download manager JDownloader also fell victim to hackers serving malware-laced downloads. How did that compromise occur, and what should users do?
This is another troubling incident, Arjav, highlighting the risks of downloading software even from seemingly reputable sources. Hackers managed to breach JDownloader's official website, allowing them to replace legitimate software downloads with versions secretly bundled with malware. This means unsuspecting users who downloaded JDownloader recently might have inadvertently installed malicious software onto their systems. For anyone who recently downloaded JDownloader, the immediate advice is to run comprehensive anti-malware scans, change passwords for critical accounts, and monitor for any suspicious activity. This incident underscores the importance of verifying file integrity, if possible, and exercising extreme caution when downloading executables from the internet.
These incidents definitely highlight the constant threat landscape. And on a more fundamental level, we're seeing new vulnerabilities emerge, like dirtfrag, described as a universal Linux local privilege escalation, or LPE. What does this vulnerability entail?
Dirtfrag is indeed a significant discovery in the Linux security world, Arjav. It's a universal Linux LPE, meaning it can potentially affect a wide range of Linux systems. A local privilege escalation vulnerability allows an attacker who already has some access to a system, typically as a low-privileged user, to gain higher-level permissions, even root access. This is incredibly dangerous because once an attacker has root privileges, they essentially have full control over the system, allowing them to install malware, steal data, or disrupt operations. The universal aspect suggests its broad applicability, making it a critical vulnerability for system administrators to patch immediately across their Linux deployments.
And alongside that, we've also heard about the copy-fail exploit affecting Podman rootless containers. Can you explain that vulnerability and its implications for containerized environments?
Certainly. The copy-fail exploit for Podman rootless containers is another important security issue, particularly for developers and system administrators using containerization technology. Podman is a popular container engine, often used as an alternative to Docker, and rootless containers are designed to enhance security by running containers without requiring root privileges on the host system. However, this exploit specifically targets a vulnerability in how files are copied into or out of these rootless containers. It could allow an attacker to bypass certain security checks during file operations, potentially leading to unauthorized access or modification of files outside the intended container scope. While rootless containers are generally more secure, this exploit highlights that even these advanced security measures require constant vigilance and patching.
Our thanks for that comprehensive look at the security front, Arohi. Now, let's shift gears to some other exciting developments across the tech world. First up, the automotive sector, with some good news for Tesla. The Model Y has become the first car to meet a new U.S. driver assistance safety benchmark. What does this mean for Tesla and for driver assistance technology?
This is a significant achievement for Tesla, Arjav, and a positive indicator for the future of driver assistance systems. The 2026 Tesla Model Y, specifically vehicles assembled on or after November 12, 2025, is the first car to meet new, stricter U.S. driver assistance safety benchmarks. These benchmarks likely evaluate the effectiveness and reliability of features like adaptive cruise control, lane-keeping assistance, and automatic emergency braking under various conditions. Achieving this milestone means the Model Y has demonstrated a high level of performance in preventing accidents and assisting drivers safely. It sets a new standard for other automakers and pushes the entire industry towards more robust and trustworthy autonomous and semi-autonomous driving capabilities.
That's impressive progress for vehicle safety, from the ground to the sky, or rather, to space. The Rocket Report has updates on Alpha Block 2 and Falcon setting new booster landing records. What's the latest in space exploration and commercial rocketry?
The space industry continues its rapid pace, Arjav. Rocket Lab's Alpha Rocket is getting an upgrade with Block 2 coming this summer, which suggests enhancements to its performance and capabilities, further solidifying Rocket Lab's position in the small satellite launch market. Meanwhile, SpaceX's Falcon 9 continues to impress, setting new records for booster landings. This ongoing success in reusing rocket boosters is a cornerstone of reducing launch costs and increasing launch frequency, which is vital for everything from deploying satellite internet constellations to scientific missions. It's a testament to the engineering prowess aiming for more sustainable and accessible space travel.
Incredible advancements in making space more accessible. Now, for the gamers out there, we've got news from Nintendo. The company has announced price increases for the Nintendo Switch too. What's the reason behind this, and how will it impact consumers?
This will certainly be a talking point for gamers, Arjiv. Nintendo has announced price increases for its upcoming console, the Nintendo Switch 2. While the exact reasons aren't fully detailed, such increases typically stem from a combination of factors. Rising component costs, inflationary pressures, increased research and development expenses for new technologies, and potentially even supply chain issues. For consumers, this means the next generation Nintendo console will come with a higher price tag than initially anticipated, or potentially higher than its predecessor at launch. It could affect sales volumes, particularly in price-sensitive markets, and may prompt some consumers to hold off on purchasing or consider alternative gaming options. It's a reflection of broader economic trends impacting the electronics industry.
Interesting to see those pressures manifest in the gaming world. And finally, for our developer audience, we have a mention of Blaze, a new Object Pascal compiler. What makes this notable?
Blaze is generating some buzz in the niche, but dedicated, Object Pascal community. It's described as a modern, self-hosting, zero-legacy Object Pascal compiler targeting QBE, which is a backend for code generation. What makes this notable is its commitment to being modern and zero-legacy, aiming to update and streamline the Object Pascal language for contemporary development practices, while still building on its strengths. For developers working with Object Pascal or considering it for new projects, Blaze offers a fresh, potentially more efficient toolchain, demonstrating that even older, established languages can find new life and innovation through dedicated open-source efforts.
And speaking of innovation, the tech world is always buzzing with events. TechCrunch Disrupt 2026 is on the horizon, and we've got a couple of announcements about that. For founders, there's a session specifically about raising a Series A in 2027. Why are founders already being told they're behind?
That's right, Arjiv. TechCrunch Disrupt is a major event for startups and investors. The announcement highlights a key session: why most founders are already behind on raising a Series A in 2027. This is a stark message, underscoring the incredibly competitive and fast-moving nature of venture capital funding. The implication is that the fundraising landscape is evolving so rapidly, with expectations and timelines compressing, that founders need to be thinking and planning for their next round of funding years in advance. It suggests that merely having a great product isn't enough. Strategic planning, networking, and early engagement with VCs are more critical than ever, even for rounds that seem far off. It's a call to action for proactive fundraising. And for anyone looking to attend, there's a last-minute deal for 50% off a second pass to TechCrunch Disrupt 2026, which is happening in San Francisco this October. A good chance to bring a partner or colleague.
Excellent insights as always, Arohi. Thank you for bringing us up to speed on all these crucial developments.
My pleasure, Arjiv.
And that wraps up another edition of Tech News Briefing. Before we go, here's a unique fun fact for you. Did you know that the concept of a self-replicating machine, a theoretical precursor to modern software viruses and autonomous AI agents, was first outlined by the brilliant mathematician John von Neumann in the 1940s? He theorized how machines could construct copies of themselves decades before the first computer even existed, laying some of the very earliest groundwork for what we now grapple with in AI and cybersecurity. Fascinating stuff. We hope you've enjoyed today's comprehensive look at the world of technology. Join us again tomorrow for more of the latest news and analysis. Until then, have a fantastic day.